We have been talking about giants, obviously. And we have two more. We have two more giants. Two more. We have this one, and one after this one, and we've completed all of them. This giant is called discouragement. How many ever get discouraged from time to time? See how big this is? Right. This is why this is a really big giant. Discouragement is a huge problem in the church. Not only is it a huge problem in the church, but it's a huge problem with people just in general. Discouragement in life. Anybody ever feel like they want to quit? Just say, I'm done. I'm done. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 27, verse 13.
I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
I would have lost heart. Anybody in this room ever lose heart? I think everybody does from time to time, don't they? I mean, I absolutely know in the circle of people that I associate with, and I know that Sissy associates with, many people have quit. And many people in my circle of people that I deal with have quit. Anybody in this room ever quit at least one thing? All right. So we have had that. We've had that experience here too, right? Anybody in this room maybe have quit several things?
Yeah.
And so discouragement is something that happens to all people. And many people that I even know, just in my circle of people that I deal with, have quit. And the really strange thing about the quitting, if they just would have persevered maybe a little bit more, guess what? They might have finished it. How many awards do you get for starting stuff? I mean, how many plaques do they give you, you know, like you're the starter of the year?
You got to finish?
So you don't give them for starting anything, do you? If anybody could get a plaque for starting, how many of you would have a wall for plaques? Woo! Man, we like someone. Becca, you too? Oh, yeah. Oh, some of us are like the best starters in the world. Right, Juanita? Georgette, we're starters. But you do not get plaques for starting stuff. You get awards for what? Finishing stuff. But so many people get so discouraged. And it's easy to be discouraged. It's easy. You know, you put all your hope and all your dreams into this and it doesn't work out the way that you thought it should. You put a lot of hope in friends and they let you down. How many's ever been let down by a friend? Yeah. And that gets you discouraged, right? You know, you put all of your faith in people and people turn out to be people. How many know people are good at letting you down? Aren't they? And so when that happens to you, you start to feel what? Discouraged. You do. You start to feel absolutely discouraged. I want to explain something to you, brothers and sisters. You know, a very tall tree is measured better when it's down. Isn't that true? I mean, a really tall tree is easily measured when it's what? Down. But down doesn't mean it's done. And some of us in this room, we have to clearly understand. You see, you're measured more when you're down than when you're up. Most of us in this room are really, truly measured by our successes after we've counted our failures. It's true. You see, God is really, truly not interested in any of your comforts. He's interested in your character. He is not interested in how easy your life is. And what we need in this world is we need a whole bunch more of overcomers and a whole heck lot of succumbers. We don't need people succumbing to everything. We need people what? Overcoming everything. How many overcomers we got in this room today? You may not even know you are one. In the year 1930, there was a dirigible. That's like a blimp, like the Goodyear blimp, but many times bigger. In 1930, there was a dirigible. It wasn't the Hindenburg. Like that one, but not the Hindenburg. And it came into town, and 200 men had ropes holding on to the ropes to keep it down. And a large wind came from underneath it and picked the front of the dirigible up. And men were hanging onto the rope trying to push it back down. Well, some men panicked and they let go of the rope. And they were fine. The unfortunate thing, half the men let go of the rope. So the other half, guess what? Went for a ride. And some of the men were hanging on, they were let go. But some of the men, unfortunately, as the front of the dirigible kept getting higher, then they couldn't hold on anymore, and they let go. And many of them were seriously injured. Except for one guy. One guy was on the rope for 45 minutes. And this dirigible was like that. 45 minutes. Hanging there. That's a long time. And they finally, you know, able to get this dirigible down. And the man over and said, "How did you hang on that rope for 45 minutes?" He said, "I didn't hang on. I tied it around my waist so that I would not fall." How many of you feel like letting go of the rope sometimes? Just let go. And if you just would have persevered, if you had hung on just a little bit longer, hung on a little bit longer, just maybe they would write stories about you. You see, they don't know the names of the people that let go of the rope. They only know about the person that hung on for what? 45 minutes. They know his name. Because he didn't what? He didn't quit. Being down does not mean being done. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 3 to 6. That's 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 3 to 6.
So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal and the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God.
Yeah. David took 600 soldiers out with him to fight the Amalekites. And while they were out fighting, some snuck back in. And they took everything. They took cattle and sheep and the herds. They took the wives, took the children, took everything. And when they came back, when David and all of the warriors came back, they found that everything was gone. Everything. They came into the city, and the houses were burned. Their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken. And David and the soldiers were very, very distressed. How many of you have ever lost even one thing? Have you lost even one thing? And David and the soldiers were weeping with distress, discouraged. They wept and they wept and they wept until there was no tears left. And then David overheard some murmuring. He heard the soldiers saying, "If we had not followed David, if we had not followed him into battle, we would not have lost our homes, our wives, our sons, and our daughters. If we had not followed him into battle, we would not have lost everything." So the root of all of our problems is who? David. And they plotted to stone him to death. They plotted to stone him to death. And so David found out his house was burned, his wife was gone, his sons and daughters missing, everything gone, and now, on top of that, the soldiers that he took with him in the battle, now what do they want to do to him? They want to kill him. There's nobody to turn to. There's nobody to go to for reinforcement for your emotional distress, because the very people that you thought were for you are now what? Against you. The very people that you counted on the most are now what? Out to get you. And David is losing all of his strength. You ever feel like that? Do you ever feel so discouraged in life that even the people that you thought you could count on, you found out that you couldn't? Anybody feel like that sometimes? The very people that you thought were there for you were the ones that turned against you. Do you ever feel like that? And David is beside himself. He doesn't know what he's going to do now. Doesn't know what he's going to do now. Read that again.
Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God.
Yeah. Yeah. Does the Lord ever go against you? Is the Lord always there for you? Is the Lord in your corner?
Yes.
He's there for you, right?
Yes.
Even when people have turned against you, even when your support has turned against you, even when your family and your friends and everyone around you has turned against you, guess who's never going to turn against you? The Lord will be there for you. In your discouragement, you need to turn to the encourager. When you are down and you cannot go any further down, you need to look up and you need to talk to the encourager, the one that can lift you back up. Look at Psalm 62:11.
God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God.
Oh, the power belongs to God. And David turned to the Lord. And David said, God has spoken once and twice I have heard this, that the power belongs to who?
God.
To God. Does the end of your rope mean no hope?
Nope.
Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 12:9.
And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Has anybody in this room figured out that God's grace is sufficient for you?
Yes.
Or do you have anybody figured out in this room that there's going to be some days you're not as strong as you think you are? How many's ever woken up and thought, man, I'm not strong as I thought I was? You know what, brothers and sisters, I am convinced of this. I am totally, totally, 100% convinced of this. I am convinced of this, that if you live on this earth long enough, you'll get your turn. Oh, I'm serious. If you live on this earth long enough, everybody gets a turn. A turn at what? Oh, you're going to get the phone call you wish you hadn't got. You're going to get the diagnosis that you were fretting about. You're going to get the interview with your job that you didn't think was coming. How many know everybody gets a turn? If you live on this earth long enough, you will get your turn. How many's had a turn already? Oh, you're going to get one. You're going to go to a funeral of a loved one. You visit somebody in a hospital you didn't think you were going to go visit. Everybody gets a turn. Everybody gets a turn. Everybody has the opportunity to find out, is His grace sufficient for you or is it not? In your weakest of times, He is the strongest. When you can least depend upon you, you need to more depend upon Him. Everybody falls, but not everybody gets back up. Constantly, the more you give, the more you get burned out. How many's ever been burned out in this room? You ever been burned out? Did you know that the more you give, and the more you give, and the more you give, pretty soon you start to get burned out. There's sometimes nothing left to give. How many's ever been in an experience where there's just nothing left to give? You gave it all. You say, I'm so drained. I'm so drained. There's just nothing left to give. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Hebrews 12:2.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endures the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Jesus endured the cross because he was looking forward to the joy. You know what happens to us, brothers and sisters? We don't look at the finish line because we're looking at the obstacles. You need to get your eyes off the obstacles and you need to get focused on what? On the finish line. Jesus endured the cross. The finisher of our faith endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. He looked at the end, not at the obstacles. There was a wise king who one day had his men put a large boulder in the middle of a path. And he wanted to see if anybody would move it. Large boulder. And he wanted to see if anybody would move it. And so he waited and he watched. And many people went by and they went around it. Some people went by and they looked at it and went around it. Nobody stopped to move the boulder. They couldn't be bothered with it. Except one peasant. One peasant came along the boulder and he saw it. And he thought to himself, somebody has to move this. It's in people's ways. It's in the way. And so what this one peasant did was he put all his weight against that boulder to get it out of the way so other people will not have to suffer. And push and push and push and push. He got another piece of lumber and put underneath it, really pushed and pushed. And after many, 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 many hours, he finally was able, through his own might, to push that boulder out of the way so other people would have an easier time. And lo and behold, underneath it was a bag of silver and gold. And the king came and said, it's all for you. I wanted to see if someone would make an effort to make it easier for somebody else, and now I make it easier for you. How many of us, we see all these obstacles, but we don't try to move it? We just go around them. And on the way around them, we beat upon our chest and say, poor me, poor me, poor me, poor me. Poor me, poor me, poor me. Instead of what? Move it. Move the obstacle so others do not have to struggle as you did. See, that's the definition of encouragement. The definition of encouragement is when you get your knees down and straighten them up and get your head up, get your shoulders square and get on getting on. We lose encouragement in relationships, marriages, jobs, and churches. We all get discouraged, don't we, from time to time? There are so many people that I counsel and they say to me when I ask them, well, what church do you go to? And they say, no, I don't want anything to do with church. And a bunch of hypocrites in there. And, you know, I just, people talk about you. You know what I say to them? Well, find a different church. Find a different church. If you're in a church that you are not being encouraged, and you're in a church that you're not being fed, whose responsibility is it for you to go find another church?
Yours.
Do not allow yourself to be discouraged. Do not allow yourself not to be fed. What do? Juanita, go find a church that you can be fed and encouraged. That's what you need to do.
I found one.
I hope you did. Thank you. Let's go to James 4:6.
But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Gives grace to the humble. We need to understand, brothers and sisters, that we have to not make the world about us, but make the world about everybody else. The world does not center around you. And if you make the world about you, you will be disappointed. You need to make your life as a servant to serve others. That's where you find your greatest joy. If you find your joy by having people serve you, how many of you know you will be disappointed? You will be greatly disappointed. Many of us in this room, we have lost so much of our stamina. We have lost so much of our want to. I want to talk to you about a bike. You can be pedaling a bike uphill all you want, but if that tire's flat, what's going to happen? Not going to go too good. I mean, when you try to pedal a bike, the tires are deflated. How many know you're going to struggle? Well, you know what? Did you know that many Christians can run out of gas too? Many Christians can have a deflated life. Many Christians run out of gas. How many Christians ever run out of gas? You run out of gas. You know, and you drain the battery of your soul. And you want to get going, but you just can't get going. Anybody ever want to get going, but you just can't? And you're inside, you're just strained. Oh, your battery needs charge. And where do you find that? Where do you go to get your batteries recharged? You go to worship. So many people say to me, well, Pastor Tom, you don't need the church to be saved. You don't need to go to church to be saved. I'm so tired of hearing it. I hear so many times during the week, what church go to? Well, you don't need to go to church to be saved. Well, you need to go to church because you are saved, though. Turn to Hebrews 10, therefore, 35 to 38.
Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. For yet a little while, now the just shall live by faith. And he who is coming will come and will not tarry. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him.
Brothers and sisters, we need to persevere. We need to clearly understand that we need to never, ever, ever, ever to become discouraged to the point that we quit living a life. There was a man who was out in the park one day and he was blowing up helium balloons. And he took a helium balloon and he filled it with helium and he let it go. And the helium balloon raised into the heavens. And he took another couple, a green one and a yellow one. And he put helium in them, let them go, and they flew up into heaven. Well, there was another balloon left. It was a red one. And the little boy said, well, will the red one fly too? And the wise man said, oh, son, it's not the color of the balloon. It's what's inside it that makes it rise to the heavens. Brothers and sisters, it's not really truly about what schools you went to or didn't go to. It's not about your job or lack thereof. It's not about where you live. It's about what's on the inside. Amen. It's not about all those other things. It's about what's on the inside. People who have Jesus on the inside can rise above their problems. People truly who do not just know but have. It's a distance of 12 inches. Brothers and sisters, it's a distance of 12 inches. Listen to me. Check it out. I can go downstairs in that hallway. It's got them Sunday school classes. And I can go past any one of those doors back there and knock on the door and say, who is Jesus? And some little kid's going to say, he's the Son of God. So you can tell me he's the Son of God, doesn't make you special. A second grader can do that. Help me understand that. It's not what you have here, it's what you have where? Here. It's 12 inches from here to here, from here to here. It's not what you know, it's what you live. Not what you know, it's what you live. You show me how you live, I'll tell you whether you got Jesus in you or not. Help me understand that too. You show me how you live your life, I'll tell you whether you got Jesus in you or not. It's not what's on the outside, brothers and sisters. It is what's on the what? It's what's in your heart. Oftentimes, we want to give up when we should have just persevered just a little bit more. Let's go to Matthew 7:7.
Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you.
Don't stop knocking. There was an insurance agent that wanted to see this head of a company. And he finally called this guy, and the head of the company said, "I'll see you. I'll finally see you." It was a very big opportunity for this guy. And so he went into the CEO's office, and the CEO said to the insurance agent, "Do you know have a clue how lucky you are to sit down and talk to me?" The insurance agent said, "Well, why?" He said, I need a great big health insurance plan for my 500 employees. The CEO said, "You don't know how fortunate you are, because I turned on 7 people today to see you." The agent said, "I was the 7. It was me. I was what? The 7. He kept knocking. He kept knocking. He will not give up. He kept knocking and he kept knocking until the door was what? Opened. Probably some of you are just at the end of the rope and you want to let go. Probably many of us in this room have reached the end or have already let go. And we said, "That's it. I don't want to do this anymore." Do you understand? Can you truly, truly understand that if you hang on for one more round, that may be the victory lap? If you don't let go, if you don't let go, you're just ready to succeed. There is no quit. There is no quit. David turned back to the Lord and he renewed his strength. And what do you think David did when he renewed his strength? He went back and got what the devil took from him. He got it all back. There's a gospel song I do in some of the centers. "I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me." How many have some things stolen in your life from that even snake in the grass, that Satan, that liar? Well, you can let him have it. And you can become discouraged or pray to the Lord to renew your strength and go back to the enemy's camp and take it back what he stole from you. Anybody tired of getting your can kicked down the street yet? Anybody tired of him kicking around your family? And fight back. Don't become discouraged. Become encouraged by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Don't let go. Hang on. Hang on. And you know what they do when you hang on? They write books about you. Oh, they may not have books in Amazon.com about you. That's probably true. They probably won't write a book on you and put you in some kind of Barnes & Noble. But they'll write books about you in our hearts. And we'll say, "Hey, that person stuck it out. Look what that person did because they wouldn't quit. Look at that person because they hung on." There's a lot of quitters. You know their names? You never will. Don't write books, God, about quitters. Lord Horatio Nelson was fighting the Battle of Copenhagen. And they were losing. And so his general, named Old Vinegar, hoisted the flag of retreat. And Lord Horatio Nelson put the spyglass up to see if he could see it, the flag of retreat. He didn't see it because he held it to his blind eye. And he said, "There's no quit." And so he succeeded. And he captured 10 Danish ships because he held the spyglass up to which eye? A blind one. Let's pray. Father God, there are a lot of us in this room, I'm sure, that we feel at times we are at the end of the rope. We honestly, Lord, have been disappointed. My friends, we have been disappointed by family. We may have become disappointed by our jobs. We may be disappointed by so many things, Lord, in our lives. But Lord, that doesn't mean that we have to let go. We have to go to the one that will never let us go. And that's Jesus. So Lord, when we are at the end of our ropes and we have lost all hope, we've lost all hope. We need to lift our eyes to the encourager and renew our strength. We need to straighten those bended knees, get our heads up, get our shoulders square, And take a breath of the Holy Spirit and get on getting on. For Lord, we truly can do all things through Jesus Christ, who does indeed strengthen us. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, the final giant next week will be, I saved it to the last, is death. Yeah, we'll talk about death next week, so I hope you all come to hear that.